Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Thanks for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me today is Gail Bernice Holland. Gail is an award-winning journalist who has worked on newspapers and magazines in Britain and the United States. She was a staff writer for Home Magazine in London, England, a feature writer for the San Francisco Examiner newspaper, and an editor of Connections Magazine, published by the Institute of Noetic Sciences. Gail has also worked in the movie industry and written radio commentaries and has received numerous awards for her writing and editorial work. Gail is joining us today to talk about her new book published by Modern History Press called Love Each Day, Live Each Day Like You Would Want to Live It Again. And to find out more about Gail and her work and her numerous books, you can go to www.authorgbr.com. So that said, welcome to the program, Gail.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Wonderful. I am so interested to find out where the original idea for this project, Love Each Day, came from.
Well, I have always known about the phrase, live each day as if it were your last. And I really don't, although that's a popular phrase, I don't like it. Because if people lived each day as if it were their last, they wouldn't do certain things. They wouldn't go to work, for instance. They wouldn't do their housework.
You're right. True.
So it doesn't really make sense. And I wanted to write a book that was fun. I wanted to write a book that was inspiring. And I've spent all these years interviewing people, and I know that everybody's got a good story. So I came up with the phrase, live each day so you'd want to live it again. And I thought that that would encourage people to think of something in their lives that would a day that they really enjoyed, that they would want to live again. The only thing, as I told when I asked people to tell me their stories, I asked them not to choose a wedding day because that was too obvious.
Very obvious.
So it was a fun way of talking to people and getting personal stories.
Well, so you mentioned that you had been interviewing people for 30 years. I mean, had you had this idea for quite a long time for this book?
No, I haven't. I've written very serious books. I wrote a book about Alzheimer's mm-hmm. disease. And my book, A Call for Connection, was about, you know, how to, the positive developments in society and how to transform society. So, no, this was just, I wanted to write a lighter book and yet at the same time keep writing a book that will inspire people.
Well, this is really considered an inspirational book. Are you happy with that?
I am indeed. And, you know, it listening to people's stories, the real clue whether a book works is if you like it, if you like the stories. And I did. I mean, I loved hearing people's stories and what they had to say. And I also want to point out that although they told me their stories, they didn't write them. I wrote everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. You did. You weren't just the editor.
No, I wrote them. And even though I wrote some stories in first person, just to make it third person and first person, some variety in the book, I wrote every story. But it was wonderful listening to people. And what was interesting is when I asked them to choose a day that they would love to live again, they couldn't immediately say, oh, I know a day. They would say to me, Gail, can I get back to you? Mm-hmm. And it would sometimes take them 2-3 days to think about what day they would really like to choose.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes,
so,
it is.
So what does that tell us?
It tells us people don't always focus on the positive.
Oh. True.
And that we scramble through life and we really have to think about, what days are special to us. We don't always think about those days.
And some of the days in this book, though, they're actually not necessarily days we would think are really positive. I mean, there's some sad stories here.
Such as what? The George Zimmer's story about when he went to a funeral?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Well, I was surprised that he did choose that day, but I think it was very meaningful, too. George Zimmer, for people that are listening that not aware of, he's the founder of the Men's Warehouse, and lives a wonderful life, married, very happy. And he chose a day which was a memorial service for a friend. And the reason he chose it, he ultimately told me, was because he realized as he was watching, he went to the service and listened to all the people that got up and talked about this man, his friend, who he dearly loved, that he realized that this man had led a wonderful life and that these people really, really cared for him. And he said it was one of the most moving days he's ever had, just because he understood what was important in life. And he had a wonderful quote, which I used at the end of his chapter. He said, "People tell you that you should save for a rainy day in terms of money, but I believe you should never defer your happiness. It's a critical mission. Taking care of your own happiness needs to become a priority in life." So he had a wonderful lesson to teach us from that one day in his life. So although it was surprising, it was very, very emotional and moving.
For him, right. Well, what is your personal philosophy on life? And I'm wondering if through this project, if your understanding changed at all.
Yes, it has. And, you know, it would be lovely to say that a switch came on and now I live every day as if I could live it again.
Yeah.
That's not how life works. You know, there are down days and so on. That will continue.
Sure.
But it does sharpen your awareness of how not to spend time grumbling or worrying and so on. Because, you know, we don't know how long we're going to live. You know, whether you're 20 years old or 70 years old, none of us know. And we should spend our days really enjoying life. And I think one of the wonderful things about the book is when I asked people to choose a day, and I told them they couldn't choose a wedding day, but I was surprised how many ordinary days, and I say ordinary insofar as, you know, they weren't days that one might consider extraordinarily different from the ways that we live. And a lot of people chose work days and described those days. So I think what the lesson is in this is that each of us, no matter how we live, we can focus more on enjoying the day.
And the moment.
And the moment, yes, absolutely.
It's interesting that people chose work days, and I guess that really reinforces the whole idea that it's so important to love what you do.
Yes, it is. I've always believed that, and I was delighted that they chose days. It doesn't mean every work day is going to be wonderful, but yes, I mean, it makes a difference in your life if you do enjoy your work. And the other thing about this book is, you know, people aren't just choosing the days they had parties or...
right, the obvious fun, happy days.
Yeah, no, these are regular days in people's lives, and some are very special days, obviously. But that's why I think the book will be very valuable to the reader, because they will be able to relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
They will be able to relate to these individuals. I mean, there are some famous people here.
Yes.
I mentioned George Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Edgar Mitchell. Now, of course, he chose the first day that he walked on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's extraordinary.
But, you know, Johnny Steele, a comedian, talked about when he went to the county fairground and so on. So, you know, there are ordinary days. And then I also deliberately chose different professions. So you've got a policeman, a bartender, a sheriff, a lawyer, a school teacher, a musician. And I did that deliberately so that people could understand that it didn't matter what profession you were in, what type of lifestyle you were in, you could enjoy this day.
Well, did you notice any common themes throughout everybody's experience and story?
No, I didn't notice any common themes, and other than I was surprised at the simplicity of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was all. Every day, every story is different, just like every person is different.
How did you go about, Gail, deciding who you would approach for this?
I definitely wanted to choose people from different professions.
Sure.
And I wanted an equal number of men and women. I also wanted different ages. It was a specific process to try and get in one book, feel of wide variety of how people live their lives and a wide variety of lifestyles.
You know, you kind of alluded to this into your introduction about the best way of learning about life is to discover how other people have lived. And I'd just like you to kind of elaborate on that point that you were making in your intro.
Well, I think that although we learn a lot from our friends and our family, and I think that from my experience, having been a journalist for over 30 years, I learn so much from just listening to other people, listening to their concerns, listening to their joy, but just understanding about life. We can read newspapers and so on, but I would encourage as many people as possible just to go out there and ask questions and encourage other people to talk about what's important to them and what isn't. Just don't get your news just from the media.
Good point. So as a journalist, did you have to draw information out of the individuals that you've written about, or were they just pretty forward in what they wanted to express to you?
I obviously, as a journalist, I know how to draw people out anyway, but it's just a matter of a conversation, and the story might be only so long, but the interview is takes an hour or two just to be able to get a full idea of how somebody feels and what they're expressing. So it's a matter of them just continuing to ask questions and hoping that they'll wish to answer them and express themselves fully.
Mm-hmm. You know, with so much upheaval in people's lives right now, I mean, there's just a lot of change and transition going on. A book like this, I think, is so important. Did what, kind of is happening globally and just in people's lives right now, was that kind of a push for you to get this project out at this time?
I didn't realize what was going to be happening at this time.
Yeah.
when I first came up with the idea. I think I came up with the idea on a very selfish basis, insofar as I had written a very serious book. And I wanted to write something light, and I wanted to write something, as I said, that possibly could help and encourage other people. As I did my own research and chose the theme of love each day, live each day so you'd want to live it again, I personally gained from this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I hope the reader will gain from these stories. But for me, the whole concept of love each day so you'd want to live it again, I want to try and keep doing that for the rest of my life. I think something works if it works for you.
That's a really good point.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Gail Bernice Holland. She's the author of Love Each Day, Live Each Day Like You Would Want to Live It Again. And you can find out more about Gail through her website, authorgbr.com. So are you consciously deciding, I've heard this, in a morning meditation to just really, set the intention of making the day the best day you could possibly have. Is that kind of what you're
trying to do that. I don't, I fail some days.
Yeah, of course,
I'm human.
We have to bring ourselves back many times throughout the day to that thought.
Yes, but it's, to me, it's a good goal to try and keep achieving. And I hope, as I say, that the readers will read this and feel that they can personally connect to the stories and then can take that on into their own lives.
Mm-hmm. It's such a fantastic book and a compilation of stories. You know, in your epilogue, you have a quote by Henry David Thoreau that reads that man is richest whose pleasures are cheapest. And I love that quote. Would you just expound on that a little bit?
I love that quote too, and I think that I think what was important when in the stories that people chose was that they didn't focus on money, and they didn't focus on although there were people that talked about their careers, they focused on the more simple pleasures in life, and I think that teaches all of us what truly is important. And again, when I ask people to tell their stories, I didn't dictate to them, well, you can only tell me this, you can only tell me that. This is what people offered to me. This is what they're offering to readers. And it tells you that that there are many, many ways that we can enjoy life, which has got nothing to do with our status in life or with money.
Did any of these 40 stories in your book stand out for you?
I think each one in their own way. I mean, I've mentioned George Zimmer,
yes.
Obviously, and I think I was really surprised that he chose that day. But I felt it was very important to the way he did that. I think there's some really extraordinary stories in here. Natasha Martin, who works with orphans in Africa, because of all the AIDS orphans, the AIDS, they become orphans. Her story, which was, you know, so loving, and that she's given up so much of her life to doing this. People are just incredible, the way they can live their lives and what they do in their lives. And another couple that are a photographer and a poet, they live in Lake Tahoe, and they are very committed to environmental, preserving that environment. There are many, many different things. And there are also very, very, you know, inspiring things. So, the story about a woman called Gloria Onishak, who's 70 years old, and she finally wrote a play that she wanted, and she got her own children and grandchildren to perform in it. And how this was one of her dreams that she could do it, and she achieved it, and the audience loved it. And her advice, as always, I followed my own advice about never being a shoulda, woulda, coulda person. In other words, people are always saying, "Well, I should have done that. I could have done that. I would have done that if so on." Well, you know, she didn't want to be a shoulda, woulda, coulda person, and so she wrote the play and she did it.
That is unbelievable. That's amazing.
So there are many, many stories here. There's a story about a blind teenager and how he graduated from high school. And on the graduation ceremony, his principal, he got an award just because of the fact that he had, it was an award for courage and character and an indomitable will. And the principal, when he gave him the award, asked him to come to the center of the stage without his cane.
Mm.
And he had to walk to the center. He was blind, the young teenager, had to walk to the center of the stage without his cane. And the principal said this was how he has lived his life with courage and will.
Mm-mm-mm.
So there are many, many inspiring stories there.
That's so powerful. And you, did you hear when you were interviewing any of these folks, you know, I already asked you about common themes, but anything, I mean, the inspiration, where did the inspiration come from for these people to embrace their life with that courage?
I think we all, you know, I think we underestimate the human being. These are not people that every day they embrace their life with their courage. You know.
But have moments.
Know, they have moments, and I think we all do. I think, as I said right at the beginning, we all have stories. And what I would like people to do when they read this book is to sit back after they've read the book and think about their own lives and think and realize the days that were special to them, and realize the courage inside of them, the love inside of them, the happiness and joy inside of them. And then for all of us to decide that we can perhaps live more days that we would like to live again.
Beautiful, Gail. So why didn't you include any of your stories in this book?
Oh, I never include personal stories. I'm a journalist.
Yeah. Funny how it works.
No, these are stories about other people. I wouldn't try to do it on a personal level.
Do you think you'll ever write a memoir?
No, I don't.
No.
No, I think all my books are memoirs in their own way, and all the articles I've written about different people. If you want to see how I've lived my life, read what I've written.
Great point. You've also, in each chapter of your book, you've taken a direct quote from each individual about how to love life. And I'm wondering, I mean, you've already mentioned George Zimmer and his quote, but was there any of these that really stood out for you? And what is the meaning of sort of putting that quote in every chapter?
I think just for people to understand, what surprised me in this is the fact that, you know, we always think that very famous people can give us advice and so on. So what I loved about it was that here are people that I interviewed, and just during the interview, they said something that was so wise. For instance, let me just mention a couple of them.
Sure.
Richard Snowden, who's a businessman, he says, take calculated risks and make a commitment to accomplish certain goals that are important. Then Judy McNamara, another woman, says, every day is precious, and every moment you can either talk to your family or be with them is a blessing. Mm. Now here she's focusing on relationships. David Darling, who's a musician who has achieved a great deal in life, says, nothing is more important than living your life, following what you really believe in, and doing what you really want to do. I think that's very important, because sometimes we are caught in the fact that we don't follow our dreams. I know as a journalist, you know, I was often, my own personal story, when I was a teenager, my mother asked me to go and get to a counselor, and because I was changing countries, going from Canada back to England, and to see what I wanted to do. So the counselor said, and you know, what are your goals in life? So I said I wanted to be a writer, a dancer, or an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And the counselor said to my mother, put that child in school and get that nonsense out of her head.
Oh, gosh. Can you believe it?
And that's what happens to people. So that, and of course, I finally did become a writer, and I danced for fun.
Good for you.
But, you know, as David Darling's quote is, nothing is more important than living a life following what you really believe in and doing what you really want to do.
So, so powerful.
It is powerful, and that's the essence of this book is, Let's love our lives. Let's do what we wish to do. Let's follow our dreams.
So what future projects do you have in the works, or are you pretty much focusing on Love Each Day?
At the moment, I'm focusing on Love Each Day, but I know that I will continue to write other books or other articles. You know, people I interview have a lot of wonderful things to say, and I'm sure I will continue to write their stories.
In the same inspirational genre?
I would like to continue being in the inspirational drama. Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you write so eloquently. I mean, we all need a little inspiration right now. So, you know, this is just a fantastic project that you put out with Love Each Day. Your website, let's mention to listeners again, is authorgbr.com. And your book can be purchased through your website. And what else can we find up there?
It just tells a little bit about my other books and who I am, but mostly focuses on Love Each Day and gives some a description and some people that have commented on it. And I hope that people will, you know, consider this book. And it's also on Amazon, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, I hope people will understand that they can really enjoy life, live as many days as possible, so that no matter whether they spend them quietly or do something special. Let's all enjoy our lives.
Mm-hmm. We'll change the planet that way.
I don't know about that, but let's enjoy our lives.
Oh, I think it's part of it. I think it's part of it. Well, I've just enjoyed talking with you today, Gail. This is
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yes, you bet, and we will definitely do it again. I know that you're also blogging, so I really encourage people to get on your website and have a look at what you have up there and do check out Love Each Day. It's just a fantastic read. So thank you so much, Gail, and I hope we get a chance to do this again.
Thank you again.
Take care. All right, listeners, that's been Gail Bernice Holland. Her new book, Love Each Day, Live Each Day So You Would Want to Live It Again, is on shelves now. It's also up on Amazon online booksellers, or go to your local bookstore, see if it's there. If it's not, ask them to order it. They will definitely do that. I hope you've enjoyed this interview. It's been such a pleasure talking with Gail today, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.